Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me today is Sean Lockhart, sports betting consultant. You can follow him on Twitter at The Real Papa Bear. Sean, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me on, Rob. We're almost through the dog days of summer. As you approach August, you start getting real excited for football. It's a great time to be on.
Super excited for football. And actually, I'm super excited about everything that went down yesterday in the world of sports. And we are recording this on Friday at noon Eastern. And holy smokes, Batman, was there a bevy of trades and draft and NFL and NBA and MLB and everything in between. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about, hey, NBA, Russ goes to the Lakers. What impact does that have? NBA draft, did we learn anything from betting that? We've also got MLB trade deadline. Some major names moved. And also, we're going to get to NFL. What are we doing to prepare for this upcoming season? And let's start with the biggest news, I believe, of the day. Russell Westbrook to the Lakers. Some books had the Lakers at 5-1 going into this, moved them to 4-1. I'm curious from your perspective, does this do anything for you, and or does this move your eye to other teams?
So I think I am in the minority that was a big fan of this trade. I know there's a lot of voices out there that are anti-Westbrook, and I get that. And they needed a shooter. He's not definitely a shooter. But as LeBron gets older, he needs someone to handle the ball. He needs someone to get rebounds. He needs another leader off the that can score. I think Westbrook is the perfect fit there. He went to UCLA. That's his home. He wanted to go there. I know he's bounced around multiple teams, but he's always been in, you know, not poisonous situations, but the Wizards weren't the right fit for him. Now he's going to a veteran-laden team. If AD can stay healthy, I can see it. And there's going to be role players that are going to go to the Lakers because they want to chase a title. I think it was a perfect move. And I think I am in the minority on that because all I've heard is negative opinions about it. And I like the trade a lot. I do. I think the West is wide open. I think the Lakers took a major step forward.
And I agree with you in all the negative backlash that I'm hearing. My first thought, right or wrong, was Russ is great because Anthony Street Clothes Davis isn't always in there, and LeBron is no longer carrying the load all of the time. And what the Lakers would have when fully healthy would be three turbos. And what I mean by a turbo is, like, you can't stop any of those three players individually. You can't stop LeBron, you can't stop AD, and you can't stop Russell Westbrook. So if one of them goes down, there's room for them to pick up the other slack. And if nothing else, Russ is just, he's a one of one. He's extremely difficult to guard. Is he flawed? Of course he is. But I think from a, what I'm looking for from a big three standpoint, they're unique in that they have players that are unlike any other players in the league.
No, I completely agree. And Westbrook's gotten a bad rep, but I think under LeBron, how LeBron plays, I think they're going to fit. I really do. He's going to have to listen to LeBron. He's going to play the third fiddle, basically kind of like the Chris Bosh back when the Heatles were playing. And as you mentioned, LeBron's, load management. He's not going to be in there all the time. Westbrook can play the whole entire game, every single game. And as I mentioned, I think they're going to get great role players too. They're going to get shooters. They're going to get tons of great players that go over there. I just think it was a phenomenal trade. And they didn't give it. Everyone thinks, what did they give up as well? Like Kuzma? Come on. I mean, they totally improved themselves with that trade.
All right, so at 4-1, I'm not interested in this. One thing that I learned from betting the NBA playoffs this year and riding on the Suns and riding on the Hawks is I like some of these teams with the higher odds than the favorites. Looking right now, the Nets are favored at plus 230. You're seeing the Lakers coming in at plus 400. I'm not interested in any of that. Bucks are coming in at plus 900. The first thing that I look at is actually the Warriors at plus 1,000 because where we are right now in the offseason, the Warriors could still make a move. And they have the young assets to it. And they're a team with the championship pedigree, culture, and coach. So for me, I'm loving it at plus 1,000. I don't know if I'm ready to do that. But when I'm looking ahead to what stands out to me, the Warriors is the earliest in which I would be looking to bet a team, or I guess the lowest odds.
No, I completely. There's no way you're jumping out right now to bet the Nets or the Lakers to win the title right now. And the two heavy favorites, they would not be the time. I would wait till yes, the season starts. Maybe the Lakers, they're always going to go through a stretch where they lose 8 of 10 games, or they look awful. And that is generally the time to jump in and buy on a team when they are just playing completely awful. No one believes in them. That's when you hit the number. Not right now after they made, you know, a superstar trade and everyone's like, oh man, they have a great shot to win the championship. You're completely spot on there. Don't go and rush to bet it right now. But I think you'll probably get a number on the Lakers, a better number, 6-1, 7-1 at some point during the season. I could see that happening. I'd be fully back. If they stay healthy, I definitely believe they're a top two, top three team.
Yeah, and I don't think those odds are going to all of a sudden go down to like plus 200 just because they're in first place. Like, this is assuming they're the best team in the West to begin with. So you're buying this at the absolute worst time possible. I'm completely on board with you, and that's how I would be thinking about the future side of things. So let's move on to the NBA draft, keeping it there. I'm curious, did you have any action on the NBA draft from a prop standpoint?
I did not. For some reason, my books, and it's very exciting because Arizona, that's where I'm at, they're legalizing it. Football season, it's going to be legal. DraftKings, FanDuel, all these books are going to be here. I'm going to have way more outs. But for some reason, yeah, my locals didn't offer NBA props, so I wasn't able to lock any action. Obviously, I only put out things that I'm betting myself. But, man, was that I love watching the NBA draft. I almost like it more than the NFL draft, just because I think it is such – there's such a game. There's only five guys on the court at a time. You draft one superstar, that changes your whole franchise. Whereas the NFL, yeah, quarterback could do that, but nothing's like the NBA. And it was amazing to watch some of those kids come off the board. I was interested. So did you profit off that? You make some money or?
So I did not. I was only down one unit. I only had three bets, which is fine. I was just dabbling last minute, just for some fun. But one thing that I picked up on that I didn't necessarily get an opportunity to take advantage of, and let's call it 2 hours before the draft, not exactly the best time to be betting all the time because some of the lines have moved, but that's not necessarily a bad thing because they can move in both directions. Because I think Davion Mitchell was a great example. I think he started at 9, went up to 12.5, and then I believe he got drafted either 8th or 9th. So it goes both ways. But as a rule of thumb, and I heard Doug and Joe talking about this on Daily Wager, they liked overs. And the reason being is the number of players who were put into a slot of 6-20 was more players than could fit into there. And as we saw with Jalen Suggs going 5th, all of a sudden, boom, there goes the top 4 exactas. And then from there, the dominoes that can fall on some of these other players that come in earlier and go later. I just think it makes more sense as a whole outside of the top 5 to be looking at the overs, because things never go the way that we think they're going to go in the drafts, at least at that range. So because of that, the thing that I gleaned, I'm going to be looking more towards overs than I am unders.
I love that. So there's too many people in that 6-20 spot. It's the same thing we talked about on this podcast before with NFL win totals. You add up all those win totals, the books, the number, it's not possible. There's not that many wins possible because books like to shade. You got to look at those. There's always a little mathematical advantage. I love that. I'm going to use that for next year, especially now that DraftKings and FanDuel will be here and I can bet on the draft. So I'm making a note of that. Thank you.
And here's what I would like to see from a data perspective. So now that we're getting more props and live betting, things like that, I would love to see some post-NBA draft analysis on the overs versus the unders that hit, and also based on when someone bets something, because really we have data. So if you got Mitchell at 9 versus Mitchell at 12.5, which one won, which one lost, and then give me the total of things, because why couldn't I have a post-draft report right now that says overs hit at 53% and unders hit at 47%. We have data for virtually everything else, but why is the prop market also not there?
I think you're going to see it as we keep going in the future. As I mentioned, my book didn't even offer it. And I think betting on drafts has become popular very recently, and almost more popular. I think the NFL draft was more bet on than probably the Major League Baseball season in some ways. But I think you're going to see that as, you know, sports betting becomes legal, and you're going to see sites like that actually put out that data. Or maybe you could come up. I haven't seen this. Maybe you could jump on that ball and that be the pioneer.
And along these lines, I would love to see this for live betting. So could you give me a percentage of time in which a team is covering or do this on the total side of things, because we know we've got this sliding scale. And I know this is a gigantic amount of data, but I would love to see, hey, teams in the NBA that are down double digits as favorites, how often are they coming back and covering said number? Because the live betting market is such a ripe opportunity for me in the next 1 to 3 years. I'm already all in on live betting, but as sports betting gets legalized across everywhere, we're going to see more people doing live betting, which means I want more live betting data. So who's going to provide me the data that tells me who are the best live betting teams? Because you could even get a team who's terrible, who all of a sudden their line goes from 17 to 25, but they're bad, but they can cover the huge numbers that they have. Do you know of anything like that?
I don't. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Live betting has, with the new technology, I mean, we're not talking about the 70s or 80s back in the day. It's technology has progressed that's allowed live betting. So it is relatively a new aspect. And yeah, I don't know. You could get all kinds of stats on anything else, but yeah, I think you're onto something there. And somebody probably will. There's going to be an app or Action Network or one of these big companies. I'm sure they're going to jump on that.
So that's what I'm looking forward to. And you mentioned MLB. So let's look at the MLB trade deadline. And there's still some more trades to be made. But the biggest one, which I don't believe is finalized yet, but looks like it's pretty close, Max Scherzer and Trey Turner to the Dodgers. The rich get richer. And I want to say the Dodgers payroll would now be up to $300 million, with the next closest at $200 million. The World Series odds on the Dodgers dropped from plus 430 to plus 330. I'm curious from you, with the Dodgers potentially adding this, does that plus 330 interest you at all?
It does a little bit, because baseball, I mean, that Dodgers team, that rotation is just so, if they have sure, that's, it's not fair. You're going to see a lot of minus 200, minus 300 games. Now, that's what always, as the season progresses, as we get into August and September, as you said, the rich get richer. So you're going to have these overwhelming favorites. I mean, you have the Pirates that are basically a Triple A team. When they play the Dodgers, it's just like almost an easy win. I don't think I would bet the Dodgers right now, because I do still believe in the Giants and the Padres a little bit. My poor Diamondbacks are stuck in that monumental division. But I would like to see if they can stay healthy. I think a repeat. Oh, man. Three, because that is a decent number, actually. A 3-1 on that lineup. There's still some things I don't like about the Dodgers, though. Team chemistry issues. I would probably not take that number right now.
So here's one thing that I heard about this trade, which gave me a unique perspective. And they said, Max Scherzer is just replacing Trevor Bauer. We don't know when he's coming back. So it's not like all of a sudden, yes, they already had the best staff in baseball, but they did lose a Cy Young Award winner and they're replacing him with another one. So if looking at some other options, and by the way, imagine being a Padres fan. I've got a bunch of friends from San Diego and I was ready to text them being like, boom, getting Scherzer. And I actually bet the over on both the Dodgers and the Padres this year, win totals. So I'm more rooting for the Padres because I like Tatis and I like what they're building there. They're sitting there at plus 900 to win the World Series right now. Is that of any interest to you? So plus 320 for the Dodgers, kind of pricey, but plus 900 for the Padres. If we think that 60-40 coin flip.
That's the new rivalry too. Those Padre Dodger games. If you've not been watching, I know if you're on the West Coast, you're going to stay up to watch those games, but those games are intense. I would be more inclined probably to take the Dodgers. Now that I'm thinking about it, the Dodgers, I saw these recent stats, like one-run games. They've also, Bellinger's been hurt. All the injuries, and they're still, you know, like what, two games out of first place. I now am thinking, you're talking me into maybe a Dodgers bet now, because that number, it's plus 3-1, over 3-1 on a team that really hasn't played their best baseball. I'm starting to kind of warm up to that idea, actually.
And I don't see that number getting more advantageous for you. The only thing would be injury, baseball, that happens. So if they were to lose more arms, it would essentially bring the pack closer. That's really what you're betting on. But I think different from what we talked about with the NBA side of things, with the Lakers at plus 400, like think about that. The Lakers right now are sitting at plus 400 before the season starts, and the Dodgers are sitting there having just traded for a Cy Young winner, and they're sitting there at plus 330.
And we're already over halfway through the season as well. Like, you're not dealing with the NBA where you have a full season of injuries could happen. You're definitely closer to the finish line in Major League Baseball right now. I mean, I know I'm quitting on baseball, but I might maybe put one last wager, the Dodgers, then I just watch that wager the rest of the year, at least have that going for me. But I mean, right now it wouldn't seem to be the team to buy just because they just got that trade and the market, as you said, moved from plus 430 to plus 330. But I'm kind of with you. I don't think that number's going to get any lower. I mean, in a couple of months, I think you're going to see maybe plus 200. They're probably going to enter the playoffs as one of the favorites, plus 150. So I don't know. That might be the best number. It might be as good as it gets.
All right, let's wrap this up with some NFL talk. And speaking of futures, I think the big thing over the last week is the return of Aaron Rodgers. A lot of the books had the Packers off the board. I'm curious from your perspective, what is Aaron Rodgers being back do for you and your thoughts on the Packers win total or props or of any of them? Because the one thing that keeps standing out to me about this is I'm not going to say the lack of chemistry, but a negative cloud in the air. When we look at success, typically in any of the sports, you want good culture, you want continuity, you want things to be going well. And while I get that Aaron Rodgers says, I'm there for my teammates and stuff, this is also a thing. Like, it's going to be a distraction until he leaves Green Bay. And to me, that's not the recipe for success of something that, from a futures market at least, I'm looking for. From a game-by-game basis, that's a different story, but I'm curious your thoughts on Rodgers coming back.
And I'm right there with you. And I do think, though, that is a popular sentiment out there in the market right now. You were talking about prices, is that people are, Rodgers is unhappy. I don't want to bet on the Packers. And I think that is majority held. And they're still the favorite to win that division. And that's generally, there's nobody, though, that means more to an individual game point spread than Aaron Rodgers. Maybe Mahomes now, I think, surpassed them. But the drop-off between Rodgers to the backup Love is just incredible. So I wouldn't be rushing to bet any Packers futures, but I also wouldn't be rushing to bet to fade them in any way right now either, because, as I said, I think that's a popular sentiment. And that's how I kind of go into these NFL seasons. You know, I'm a sponge. I like to absorb. I read everything. I listen to podcasts. That's all I'm doing pretty much every day right now, preparing for the season. And I like to see like these popular opinions out there. When you read all these magazines, a lot of magazines, you know, they're very high on these teams like the Browns, or, you know, they're kind of, oh, are the Packers shaky, or are the Bucks are the favorite to win that division again. And that kind of shapes the market where you see these, you know, season win totals, but also like week one lines. Those are some of the teams I might be looking at betting against week one, like fading the Browns, maybe just because the Browns are going to be good. Everyone thinks that. So I think that line might be a point or two high. I like to find places where people aren't really looking at, people aren't really thinking. And I mean, that's just how my brain works in NFL. So I'd probably be looking to not fade the Packers right now. But I do agree with that sentiment. He's not happy. But I think everyone knows that. And so I don't think I'd be looking to monetarily cash on that right now.
And I'm with you on looking to fade teams people are on and looking to be on teams people are off. The challenge being the narratives for why we would be off one team and on another team when the prevailing market is telling us otherwise. You really have to do some digging. So what I want to do is get a little bit into what we're actually doing from a prep standpoint. And one thing that was new to my prep this year is I just purchased Warren Sharp's book, his NFL preview. And why did I do this? Because success leaves breadcrumbs. And sometimes in life, or oftentimes in life, you have to be told something numerous times before you actually listen, where you're like, huh, maybe there's something here. Within the last week, and actually from the last time I did this podcast, in two separate instances, people whose sports betting or football opinion I subscribe to both mentioned that they have Warren Sharp's book as the Bible. And I was like, listen, I'm all like you. I'm for consuming information and perspectives. So if there's something out there that can help me be a more informed, better, be better as a host for everyone else that's out there, boom, that's something that I'm doing. And this thing is like uber comprehensive, super analytical. It doesn't mean that I'm going to use it as my end all be all, but I think that one of the things that I do a good job of is auditing the opinions that are out there and I match them up to mine. So who does he like? Who does he not like? What is the other market saying out there? What are my eyes saying based on what we just said, trying to get on some teams and off some other teams? I'm curious your perspective on what other things or sources you use to prep.
So I'm right there with you. I'm Warren Sharp. I got it. It's a digital version, but it's a little more numbers driven. It's very analytical, which is not always my style, but it's a great piece of information. For college football, Phil Steele, and people dog Phil Steele sometimes, but you don't have to agree with what team you think is going to break out, but it's just information. I mean, he's got literally the backup, the start. It's just so much information. And there's all kinds of different podcasts you can listen to. And that's what I'm saying is just keep an open mind. You don't have to agree with everyone and what they say, but it is just, it's beneficial to listen to how people are thinking, how they're approaching betting. And then, as you said, when you form your own opinions, if someone else you respect has that same opinion, that I think that does, it adds, even though I guess we do kind of look for positive reinforcement sometimes, but I completely agree with that, that you form your own opinion, and then you find other data points, other people that agree with it, and you go with that. I think it makes it a stronger opinion. I like that form of thinking for sure.
Yeah, and I think the key to this is finding the sources that you trust. One of the areas where I believe sports bettors can get into trouble is that there are so many picks. You can jump on Twitter right now and find the opposite side of every pick for every bet everywhere. Someone's going to love the Packers. Someone's going to hate the Packers, and they're going to create an article or a video about it. And there's confirmation bias. You can find whatever it is. The challenge becomes, this is now a Cheesecake Factory menu. You're like, there's so much stuff on the board right now, I don't even know what to order. But instead you say, you know what? I want to go to that small little BYOB sushi place that just has a one-page menu that does 12 things really well. Cool. Find your few sources like us, like when we're bringing you on and these opinions to say, hey, are you becoming smarter in your process? Step one, because that's the most important thing. What is your process? Two, where are you getting your information? And three, how are you sort of blending it together to create your informed opinion?
You're right there, spot on. And I said, forming your own opinion, I think, is crucial. We do all this work and we have these ideas of what these teams are going to do to start the season. But I think NFL, more than anything, the week to week of NFL, you have to keep such an open mind. You have to change your mind a lot. These teams are completely different teams, almost week to week. It's just a battle. And so I have like these, notions how I might attack the season, where whether it be, home field advantage, I think is coming back this year. Obviously last year, COVID year. The home teams, even straight up, 127 and 128 straight up, just win or lose. So home teams lost more than they won last year, which is just incredible for the NFL season. So I think, I'm going to maybe take some more home teams this year, just in the back of my mind. And then I think it overs as well. I think I've been saying it for years, but the league is going to be more offensive driven. And generally, as I always take unders on, just how my mind works, I think like, oh, the public's on the over. The average Joe thinks the over. Not this year. I think I am going to go with more of an open mind. 18 of the first in the NFL draft, 18 players were offensive. But the league is just going more offensive. And so I'm going to make it a point this year, I think, to bet more overs. So I have these certain plans that I'm, kind of formulating. And I think that's also important to do.
Here's what I'm curious about. So I'm with you in wanting to probably think there's going to be a regression to the mean of road teams who are covering. Now home field advantage is back. We've got noise. We've got all of that different stuff. But you know who also knows that? The sports books in Vegas. So the answer becomes how much of the adjustment, because I think early on in an NFL season, you have the ability to take advantage of some things before the market completely corrects itself, but you need to be ahead of the market on that. And I'm just wondering if, it's almost like I want to go back to my fundamentals of the things that I liked in terms of give me a home dog getting more than a few or some of these principle-based things that we may have got off of last year because of COVID.
No, I completely agree. I love the home dog aspect, especially college basketball. I use that home dog. I mean, you can have the top talented North Carolina team that go in and play like a lesser talented Syracuse team in a dome. I mean, those are really good spots, especially like on a weekday. But when it comes to NFL, it's very – so I lost my train of thought there going to college football, college basketball. I think – the books do know that more home team. Yeah, there's the crowd noise is there. But I think more back to your point of where you're deciding, or when I'm deciding like my contest picks in the Circa or the Super Contest, and I'm deciding between two games, but one of them is a home team on the spread. I think that's when I'll probably, or I'm deciding between two bets to put down. One's a road team, one's a home team. I think when you actually are limiting your bets and making the final decision, I think that home field, I probably will weigh it a little bit that direction. My last, like the very last filter, when you're finding that last edge, I think I will just lean more towards home teams with the home field advantage this year becoming stronger.
Absolutely love it. Sean, enjoy jamming with you. I know this is going to be a very profitable NFL season for all of us. Where can everybody connect with you?
I'm on Twitter at DaRealPapaBear, D-A-Real, R-E-A-L, P-A-P-A, Bear. Always down to talk sports, give out free plays all the time as well. Football season's my busiest time. It's my favorite sport. It's been my most profitable sport. Cannot wait for September to come.
And I want to hear from you. Number one, are you touching any NBA futures action? If so, what? Number two, Dodgers to win the World Series. Are you taking anything at plus 330? If not, who would you be on? And then lastly, in terms of NFL prep, I'm curious to hear what you do for your NFL prep process. I'm always looking to find new sources or new information. You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pumps, pump it in your black trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than 2.